Hey everybody, welcome back to the second video of our Windows Azure SQL Database video series. Today we're going to talk about Windows Azure SQL Database administration, some of the tools and utilities we can use to administer and maintain our Windows Azure SQL Database environment. The topics we're going to cover today are three, really. SQL Database Management Portal. This is not the Windows Azure Management Portal. We talked about that last time. And in our last video, we alluded to the SQL Database Management Portal, but we did not look at it. Today, we're going to look at that. Then we're going to look at the SQL Database Management API. This is a REST API that allows us to do a lot of the functionality, you find in the Windows Azure Management Portal surrounding Windows Azure SQL Database, so creating servers and creating firewall rules and things like that through programmatically through a REST API. And then we'll wrap up by looking at some of the PowerShell commandlets that are available that you can use to also manage, maintain Windows Azure SQL Database, provision a server, create firewall rules, and actually through PowerShell you can actually create databases as well, which you cannot do through the Management API yet. So these are the three things we're going to look at. So with that, let's jump out and do some demos. So what I've done here is let's pull up Internet Explorer, and I've already logged into my Windows Azure Management Portal, and these are the servers that I've provisioned. And the server we're going to look at and work with is this one I've got here in the South Central U.S. So I'm going to click that. I'm going to scroll down a little bit, and well, actually, let's go to databases, look at some of the databases, because we're going to pick a database, and then we're going to go into the SQL Database Management Portal on one of these databases. And the one I want to work with is this one right here. It's called AdventureWorks 2012 Fed. What we did earlier is we took the on-premise AdventureWorks database for SQL Server 2012, and we created a Windows Azure SQL Database version of that. And then we also created a federated version of the same database. So we'll talk about federations in a future video series forthcoming. Not too long away, it's coming up fairly quick. And we posted these databases up on CodePlex. So if you go up to CodePlex and look at the SQL Server sample database gallery, you'll see the download for both the Windows Azure SQL Database a plain database, and then the one for federation, same download. So I've already installed these up in Windows Azure SQL Database, and we're going to look at this one. So if we go in here and we scroll down, we'll see a link for that's called Manage URL, and this is what we're going to click on. So if we click on that, it's going to bring up a another web page, and I'm going to log in here. And we'll give it a minute to log in and connect. And what it does is it brings up, this is the SQL Database Management Portal. If you've ever wanted or wished for a, we'll call it a web-based version of SQL Server Management Studio, this would be fairly close to what that would be. It doesn't do everything that SQL Server Management Studio does. You can't do users and logins and permissions and things like that. But it does give you a fairly extensive portal for managing and maintaining Windows Azure SQL Database. So again, if you go into the design down here, you can create tables and views and store procedures and modify those objects. And we can actually write query. We can do a new query against those tables and things like that. So it's fairly extensive. It's a fairly extensive web-based version. Again, it works with tables, views, store procedures, queries. And if you look at this, if we zoom in really close here, you can see that we can actually do and look at query execution plans and do estimated query execution plans. So it's fairly thorough. The reason I wanted to open this one, though, is because you notice if we were to open just a generic Windows Azure SQL Database instance in this portal, we would see the summary information and the query performance and things like that. We'd also have the overview and tell us what's going on. But the reason I selected this federated version of this database is because this portal is smart enough to know that if I open up and select a federated version or a federated database, I get this extra information over here. This portal is smart enough to know that I clicked on federation, that this database is a federated database, and thus it gives me this information here. And if I click on this arrow over here, it then lists and takes me to this screen that says, here's my federation, here's my federation members, and it'll list all these. I could then query these federation members. It would list all my members over here, and I only have one federation member here. But I can query this federation member, and if I select this member, I can do things like query it. I can split it, for example. I can resize it. This is a 150 gig database. If I want to resize it down to 40 gig because it's only got 20 gig of data, for example, I can do that. If I split it, I can say, well, I want to split. If I partition on customer ID, for example, I'd say I want to partition at customer ID 40, and I can split that. And again, in a future video series, we'll talk about Windows Azure SQL Database, SQL Federation. So that's upcoming. But again, this is a great portal, great utility for me to work with Windows Azure SQL Database if I need web capability. So again, I can go in and work with tables and views to store procedures and add data and query data and make changes to these schemas and objects and things like that. So it's a great introduction, a great way to work with my Windows Azure SQL Database through the web. And again, it does not do things like permissions and users and logins and things like that, but it does allow me to work with a lot of the things that I can do through SQL Server Management Portal. So a quick introduction to that, but let's now jump into the management API, the SQL Database Management API, because this is where a lot of the power and flexibility comes from if you want to do things programmatically. So what I have here is I have a very simple Visual Studio app in Visual Studio 2012, and this is a quick introduction into the SQL Database Management REST API. And this the REST API allows me to do things that I can do in the Windows Azure Management Portal. So I can create servers and create firewall rules. So create and maintain and delete firewall rules and SQL Database servers. Now, in order to work with this, what I need to do is I need a certificate first, because everything's certificate based. So what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to log out of, let me close this. I'm actually going to log into another version of another subscription I have, because we're going to use that one. Because this one has, in this subscription I have no servers and no certificates. So let me log in here real quick. All right, so we've logged in, and notice that this is a fairly new subscription. So I have no databases, no servers, and no certificates. This application, when you're working with the SQL Database Management REST API, it does require that you have a certificate. So I'm going to walk you through in this demo how to do a, kind of an end-to-end, how to create a certificate, upload that to the portal, and then use this this tool to use the REST API. So the first thing I'm going to do is I need to open a command prompt, and I've already got that here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use create a certificate. And you notice that I've already kind of done that here. So the easiest way to create a certificate is just use the make cert command. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this command to create a certificate. And it's a simple .cer file, and what it does, it'll actually add that to my cert store here. So we can go ahead and click enter here. And it succeeded. So now if we go over to this directory, you'll see that it did create my certificate. And if we refresh here, you'll notice that it added my Windows Azure certificate, the one that we specified here. All right, so we're not done yet, because we need to do a couple more things. The first thing we need to do is that when you're working with the REST API, it requires the personal file or the personal information. We need to upload the .cer file to the management portal, but we also need to extract the personal information. So let's do the personal information first. So we're going to go to the details tab in our certificate store and say copy to file, click next, and we're going to export the private key is what we're going to do. So we're going to click next, and we'll just keep the default here. We're going to include all the certificates in the certification path if possible. Click next. I'm going to provide a password for best practices. So let me provide a password here. Click next. And I'm going to browse to the same location that that's at. So what I'm going to do is just to make it easy for me. Oh, it's already there. So I'm going to call this Windows Azure as well, but remove that, click Save, and let's export that. So now we have both the personal information exchange and the certificate. Now we're almost done because now we need to upload this certificate, the CER file. So let's go ahead and do that. And we want the security certificate. We'll upload that. This will take a second. There we go, there's our certificate. And what I also want to do is I'm going to copy the subscription identifier because we need that as well when we're working with the SQL Database Management REST API. So I'm going to copy that. So there's our certificate uploaded. And notice I have no servers and no databases. So I'm going to run this now. Go back to Visual Studio and run my application. And there it is. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to create a server. And create some firewall rules for that server. So let's browse to the location of where our that certificate is. That's in Video Series 200, and there it is. That's our the PFX file, right? That is this one, the Personal Information Exchange file. We're going to enter the password for that, and then we're going to paste the subscription ID. So at this point, now there are no servers, so I can go ahead and click List Servers, and it won't list any servers because there's none there. But what I am going to do is I'm going to add one. So I'm going to let's add one to the West US, provide a administrator login name and password. And then we'll click Create. And what that'll do is it'll make a call out to the REST API to add this server. It's been added. And then what it does is it lists this server in my list box. So now what I'm going to do is if I click this server up here, it would, if I had any firewall rules, it would list this firewall rules here. But there are none. So what I'm going to do now is let's add a firewall rule. So we'll call, let's actually go back to the portal now and refresh our portal to show that it actually did add that server. There it is. There's our server, and we know that it added it because there's the server name and it matches the server name here. Great. So let's go add a firewall rule. So I'm going to say my rule, and what I'm going to do is let's go to our server and let's grab the firewall rule here. We can grab the IP address, not the firewall rule, so we're going to minimize that. And we'll say, we'll just add a, we'll say 1 to 255. We'll click Add. Rule added, and we'll refresh that list on the right, and there's my rule. So let's go back to the portal now, and let's refresh our firewall rule list. And there we go, there's our rule added. So we added my rule, and there's the starting and ending IP address range, which matches what we entered here. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop this and run it again, just so you can see really quick if we were to enter this or browse to this information, you can see everything in action again. So let's browse to the, we need to go back to the portal and grab that, don't we? So let's go back to our server and let's go grab our subscription ID. Paste that there. The list servers. There's our server. We click this. There's our firewall rules. And we could go add, if we wanted to, we could then delete the server and delete the firewall rule. But let me stop this now. Let's go back. Let's go into the code and see what the code's doing. So if I do list servers, what it's doing is it's calling this get servers method here, and this is a method I created. But the API is what it's doing. So basically, what we're doing is we're calling web response, and we're basically doing an HTTP web request. And here is the endpoint of the REST API. So we're basically saying here is the, we're calling this servers endpoint, and we're passing the subscription ID. And then what we're doing is we are making that call, and we get XML back. Because what we're doing here is once we get XML in the form of a stream reader, what we do is we then loop through that XML, and we're just pulling out the name, location, and the administrator login. And this is what you saw when we wrote to the list box. Right, so we just did a web request get, because we're saying give us the information back. The create is basically the same thing. We are getting the information that we're entering in the list box, and then we're calling create server, and here's this method here, and it's really the same thing, the same API, but what we're doing in this case is we're passing, again, the subscription ID, but we're passing XML. So we're doing a web request post method, and what we're doing is we're creating XML, and in that XML, we're saying, here's the administrator login, here's the password, and the location. This is what we passed here in this section. And what we do is what we get back is the server, and what we then write that to the list box. So once the server's created, we say, okay, it's created, the server's been added, and you saw that. We then call in this method up here, get servers, the same one we called up here, to then get the server that was created. So very simple. Now let's take in this case we're doing a post and we're creating XML. The list rules is really the same thing. If we say get firewall rules, right, we're also doing a get as well, and we're getting back XML, and we're just parsing that XML and to get the rule name and the starting and ending IP address back. So again, we're just calling another, this was called the servers, and we're also passing in this one, besides the subscription ID, the server name. Give me the firewall rules for this server. So just a different endpoint we're accessing on the API. And lastly, let's look at the add firewall rule. We're doing set server firewall rule, and that's right here. And so the same thing here, we're calling the servers firewall rules 2, and we're passing the subscription ID, the server name, and the rule name that we're creating. And again, in this case, we're doing a put this time to create the firewall rule, and here's the XML we're creating and passing to the endpoint, the REST API, to create the firewall rule. All right, so very simple example. This sample will be up on the Windows Azure Code Gallery for you to download and play with. We'll make that available. All right, lastly, let's jump in and look at the PowerShell commandlets to do a lot of these same things. What this sample application does not do, and what the REST API does not do, is you can't create databases through that, but you can with PowerShell. And so what I'm going to do is, let's close all these, and let's jump out into PowerShell. So what I've done is I'm going to jump out to PowerShell here, the PowerShell commandlet, and this is downloaded through this is downloadable through the Windows Azure downloads page, and it'll download all the Windows Azure SDK and the Windows Azure PowerShell. So what we're going to do is we're going to use these PowerShell commandlets to create another server, add firewall rules, and to create a database. Now you're probably saying, you know, what are the commandlets are there? And this is very simple. I'm going to walk you through a couple of syntaxes to look at to see what commandlets are available. So I'm going to say get command module Azure. Right, and this gives us a list of all the available Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets, and the ones we're interested in are things like these: get Azure SQL Database, get Azure SQL Database Server, and firewall rules, things like that. We can also scroll down and look at, there is new, we can say new Azure SQL Database and Server and context and firewall rule, and there's also a remove down here as well, right, remove Azure SQL Database firewall rule. There's also one called get Azure Publish Settings Files. So there's several ways to do this. We can do call things like, we can make these calls to, you know, set the Azure subscription, and then call these new Azure SQL Database servers and things like that. But there's a much easier way to do this. And so what we're interested in is these calls up here, what's called it's called get Azure Publish Settings File. So we're interested in that one, and then we're interested in this import one as well. Import Azure Publish Settings File. What these do is this will actually download a published profile settings, and then when we import that, it's like caching our credential information, so we don't have to go through a bunch of different calls. This makes working with the PowerShell commandlets and Windows Azure much easier. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through these calls to actually provision a server, add a database, add a firewall rule, and add a database. So what we're going to do is we're simply going to say get Azure publish, and if you click tab, it'll actually fill that out. When we hit enter here, what it does is it actually pulls up a page and prompts us to download this our published settings profile. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually click Save As, and we're going to save that to our temp directory right here. And notice the information is the date we download, our subscription name, and it contains our credentials. We're going to click Save, and we can close that. And if we go out to our temp directory, we can see that here. And if we were to open that, we'll open that with Notepad++. And it's really an encrypted file of all our credential information and our subscription and portal settings information. Right, there's our subscription ID that we're working with, and there's our subscription name. Right, so there's our published profile. Now what we need to do is go back into that and into PowerShell and upload that, import that that information, because at that point it caches that information and we can start working with PowerShell at that point. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go back into here and I'm going to copy this or rename it, because I want this name. I don't want to have to type that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say import Azure publish. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass the path, right? So I'm going to right mouse click and say yep, but I need to put the path in here as well. So this was /temp. So let's paste that right there. / So we're going to import those settings. Done. So now it's cached this information, and now we can start working with some of these other commandlets where we don't have to now create context and things like that. We do have to create a context for the database. But now at this point, we're ready to start creating servers and things like that. So let's create a server and let's add a firewall rule. So to create a server, we're going to say new Azure SQL Database server. And we're going to pass it the administrator login. The password. We'll just call this my password. Password 1, and then the location. Just like we did through the API, we got to pass it the administrator login, the password, and the location. And here we'll say again West US. All right. So if we type this information right, there we go. So what it did is it, again, created a new server. There's our server name. And what I'm going to do to make this easy, I'm going to go back out to the portal, and let's refresh our list of servers. And there's our server. So this is the first one we created, and this is the one we just created through PowerShell. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab this name, because that's the one that was created right here, that one. Because our next syntax is we're going to actually add a firewall rule through PowerShell to this server. So that's pretty easy. We're going to say new Azure SQL Database server firewall rule. And we're going to paste that in here just to make sure we get it right, like that. And we'll pass it the rule name. We'll call this. We've already got one called my rule, so we're going to call this my PowerShell rule. And then we need to pass it the start and end IP address. So let's say start IP address. And here we're going to, let's just go back into here and grab the IP address for this. So we're going to click configure and we'll just copy paste. Right. I'm going to configure here. So there we go. So we have no rules defined for this new server. So let's go back in here and we'll say, here's our start IP address. And let's do the same thing. We'll say 1, and then we'll say give it the end of 255. Okay. There we go. So now if we go back over here, refresh our portal. There we see our IP address rule. So the My PowerShell rule, there it is. So great, we've got our rule, we've got our server and our rule. Now let's add our database. All right, so the first thing we need to do is define a context for this database. And so this is fairly simple. We have two more PowerShell commandlets we're going to use. So what we're going to do is we're going to define the context. And so we're going to say context equals new database context. We'll say server, and we're going to pass the same server here. Now, what this is going to do, so there's two things. We could add the username and password, but if you hit enter right here, what it does is it prompts you for what's the password. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to type the username and then this password. You got to make sure I get it right. There's our credentials. So now those are cached, and now we can actually create our database. So here we say new Azure SQL database. And we need to pass this context. So we're going to pass the context here. Make sure we did that right. And I'm going to call this database, call it Scooter. We'll give it a web edition. So what we're going to do here is create a 1 gigabyte web edition database called Scooter, and we're also going to do things like, let's give it a collation, just a standard collation, and here we'll just pass the standard, the default that you see when you create a database. So alright, so here, let's see. So we're going to use the new Azure SQL database, pass the context, which contains our credentials for creating, accessing the server, our username and password, create a database called Scooter that's a 1 gigabyte web edition, and the standard collation. So let's hit enter. Nope, so I typed in the collation wrong, it looks like. Oh, I did. I forgot one. So CP1 underscore CIAS. That's what I did wrong. Okay, so let's try that. There we go. There's our 1 gigabyte web edition database. So we can go back over here, go to databases, and refresh that list. There it is. There's our 1 gigabyte web edition database. All right, so fairly simple. What we did is then we downloaded our published settings profile. We then imported that, which caches all our credential information. We then used that information to create a server, add a firewall rule, and create a database. So in this video series, we talked about the SQL Database Management Portal and the great things you can do around that through kind of a web-based version of SQL Server Management Studio, a light version. You can't do things like logins, a lot of the security information and security settings. But you can create objects like tables, views, and store procedures, and run queries and do and look at your query execution plans and things like that. So fairly robust. Even it works with SQL federations, which we saw. We then jumped into the SQL Database Management REST API and the things you can do with that through this sample application. And then we looked at the PowerShell commandlets, some of the PowerShell commandlets, and how easy it is to work with PowerShell to programmatically administer and work with your Windows Azure SQL Database environment. So with that, let's wrap up. So if you have any questions or want to see further demos along these lines, or more information or more demos around Windows Azure SQL Database, or have any ideas for other demos or other videos, let me know. I'm happy to do other videos. You'll see more videos coming around migration and federations and data sync and things like that. But if there's specific videos you want to see, there's my Twitter handle and my email address here at Microsoft. Feel free to email me and reach out to me, and I'm happy to accommodate. So thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.